welcome to Broken But Glorious and our review of Impact's Wrestling Special Crossroads. I'm Chris Lappin and I'm joined by Oliver Newman.
Hi Chris, how you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. And for joining us for this review, we've got the host of the Impact Lounge, Adam Davey.
Hi there Chris, hi Oliver.
Yeah, how you doing this evening, Adam? Oh, sorry. How you doing this evening, Adam?
Yeah, really good, really good. Yeah, I've been travelling the world, it feels like, and just landed back in Glasgow a couple of hours ago, and yeah, been looking forward to this all day.
Right, cool. So, before we get into the view, I just let the fans know who you are. So, how long have you been a wrestling fan?
Oh my word, I don't think my memory goes back that far, but one of the first events I remember would have been one of the early WrestleManias, you know, so it'd been Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior kind of era. Around then, you know, I used to watch a lot of WCW when they showed it on the ITV regions late at night at 1 o'clock in the morning. We had stunning Steve Austin and all these people. So I've been a wrestling fan for a huge time, and I kind of dropped down, fell out of love with it. And over the years, it's come and gone. But most recently, I would say, was probably now the last 3-4 years. I only really watch TNA Impact. I just don't like the WWE product anymore. I've even got Raw off the series link. So I'm still a wrestling fan, but I'm supposed to be a bit more niche now.
So we've known each other for a few years. I'm sure that you said in the past that it was WrestleMania 9 that got you back into wrestling.
Yeah, I think it was. I remember being at university and someone said, "Oh, I'm getting a videotape this week," and we all thought, "What the hell is this going to be?" We didn't know if it was going to be adult material. We didn't know if it was going to be some classic 70s exploitation movie. We had no idea. And then he put it in, and it was the WrestleMania where Hulk Hogan won the title, even though he wasn't in the title match.
Yeah.
The one where Bret Hart faced Yokozuna.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Somehow wangled his way into the title match.
That's right. Yeah. So I just remember that kind of once again got me back into falling in love with it. And as you know yourself, Chris, since then, you know, been doing a podcast on and off for close to, I think, 5-6 years now. Done quite a few wrestling interviews and talked to a few of my icons growing up. So yeah, really still love the industry. Although I think that it's not what it was, but that's just because television isn't what it was. You know, the way that people watch it these days. So anyway, yeah.
So what is it about TNA you love so much? Sorry.
I just think it's a bit edgier than WWE, and it feels more like anything can happen. And although it's pre-recorded, which doesn't help the product, I just prefer the characters in it. People seem to be more themselves, and you know, and can let rip a little bit more. And it just, I don't know. Also, the fact that having now done these kind of reviews for years and years, you know, I get a bit more access to interview these guys. And TNA, or Impact, I should say, have always been a lot more friendly and supportive of people like ourselves. And I just like that collaboration of working with wrestling companies, because ultimately wrestling is just a promotional company, isn't it? I mean, that's what wrestling is. And so, you know, I like the fact that they engage with their fans and they do things like that. So I was quite fortunate last year. I saw them. I saw the Slammiversary pay-per-view live over in Florida.
Wow.
And met a load of them over there as well. So that really reignited it again for me last year.
Did you have a question, Oliver?
Well, I was going to say the Hulk Hogan Bret Hart thing got Adam back into wrestling. I've kind of hated Hulk Hogan every single day since that moment. Really, being a big Bret Hart fan. And even at such a young age, I realised that was a horrible political thing for him to do.
It was the other thing it didn't help it as well. From memory, it was in daylight, wasn't it? It was a daytime WrestleMania,
and
it was crazy. But and he didn't even, it wasn't even a long match. From memory, going back, you know, quite 20 years now we're looking at, but wasn't it like virtually a squash match on Yokozuna? The second one was.
I think it was about 8 minutes long. So. The Hulk Hogan, that was about 30 seconds. He big booted him and then leg dropped him, and that was the end.
So actually, thanks for that, Hulk.
You said you've interviewed some of the biggest stars in the industry, like Lex Luger, Jeff Jarrett, Nick Aldis, Austin Aries. So who's been some of your favourite interviews you've conducted?
I can tell you without a doubt, my favourite wrestling moment was ECW Zombie. and you know, I still watched it just last week, and funny, he was one guy we interviewed, before he passed away a couple of years ago. And he was brilliant. Tim Arson, I think his name was. Yeah. And he was just awesome. You know, he told a load of backstage stories and things. And he was just a guy still trying to make it, you know, five years after his one moment of fame. And you know, so he was a great interview. Interviewed Eli Drake the other day. He was another guy who was really a good guy to talk to. Mickey James sticks in my mind. She was lovely, and I interviewed her face-to-face. Yeah, so I would say they're most probably up there in my top three, and there's a few other ones which was probably escaped me at the moment, but yeah, certainly Tim Arson was a brilliant interview. Zach Gowen, he was great. And Honky Tonk Man, how can I forget him? I'll finish on Honky Tonk Man, just because he was as crazy as a bag of spanners, honestly. But he was lovely at the same time.
Yeah, and he's the greatest intercontinental champion of all time.
He is, and that will never, ever change.
So currently you host a YouTube podcast, The Impact Lounge. How did you get involved with this show?
As I said, I kind of fell out of love with wrestling, and then after going to see Slammiversary and a couple of the tapings after that, I think I saw two or three tapings that week as well of Impact. I thought, you know what, I'm going to get back involved, and I just did a bit of a Google search of TNA wrestling reviews, and I came across it, and I just emailed him. I said, oh, you know, have you ever thought about having a co-host? And he was just starting his channel back up again, the guy who runs it, BQ, and he just said, buddy, come on as a guest, you know, reviewer for 1 week. And then a couple of weeks later, he contacted me and said, you know, really liked having you on, we had good chemistry, let's get you on for another one. And it's kind of blossomed from there to the point of where I've taken over the Impact reviews, because he just doesn't have time to do it every week because he's doing a lot of other content. So it's kind of become my own now. That's how I fell back into it. And I do it with an American guy called Ro, who is based on the west coast of America. So that's always kind of fun trying to line up time differences to find time to do it. But yeah, we're getting some good hits. You know, we get about 1,000 viewers a week. We've got nearly 3,500 subscribers to the channel. So yeah, it's going well.
Oh, amazing.
Hey everybody, this is Steve Wilson, the man behind the monster Congo Kong, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
So shall we get into the Crossroads special? So, opened with LAX versus the Cult of Lee. I don't watch TNA, Impact every week, but last time I watched LAX with heels. Were they meant to be faces in this match, or...?
Yeah, that's right. There was I can't remember if it was the pay-per-view at Bound for Glory, but there was a kind of a double turn where LAX were the heels originally and OVE were the face, and with the introduction of Sami Callihan, it switched them around, and they've been face ever since. I think it was Bound for Glory. So they're now faces, although more tweener faces, I suppose.
Of course, have drug deal and pimps as faces.
Yeah, but at least they don't hit people in the face of baseball bats. I suppose that makes them good guys.
Well, I thought this was a really good match to kick off the show. I think it was all action. I loved all the double moves, the double team moves. It was great Saints of Urgency, I thought, was in the match.
I think you're spot on with that review. And for me, it was the best match of the night. And there's been a few incarnations of LAX over the years, but these two, Santana and Ortiz, are absolutely incredible in the ring and just get each other and wrestle. It's just a perfect harmony. And without wanting to talk down Cult of Lee, they're my favourite things on the show, just because they remind me of, I don't know if you remember Bad Influence, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, in that they're a bit doofuses, you know, and they like having fun, but they're also quite good in the ring. They're entertaining characters. So to me, it was the match of the night.
Oliver, what do you like this? Do you like this match?
Oh yeah, it was. I mean, the whole show, and I'll add to this in a bit. Really good show, in all honesty, and it started in the best way possible with this tag team title match. I kind of want Trevor Lee to be like a completely and utterly crazy cult leader and have like numerous followers because he's such an amazing wrestler and a character, and I've been a big fan of this. You know, the tag team between Conley and Trevor Lee. And the only thing I would have said is I would have changed the titles, I think. As much as I like LAX, I think that Cold Lee is fresh and it's one of those opportunities that you have to help a tag team along. And I would have changed the titles, but the match itself, like Adam's just said, I'm not quite sure if it was match of the night, but it was a really great way to start the show.
Yeah, I mean, just on that, changing the titles, I think the biggest issue that Impact has got is they never really have more than two tag teams on display at any one time. I can't remember the last time there was a three-way feud over the title, the tag titles. It always seems to be one group challenging at a time. And collectively, I think maybe they've just been together too short a time, you know, to maybe get that title. They beat them in the first match to get the title shot, so they might have, the rubber match to finish it off. But yeah, there's such good chemistry between the two of them. But you're right, I'd like to see them maybe, you know, bring in a couple of other, mid-carders, you know, like a Braxton Sutter into the squad as well, or KM or someone like that, because Trevor Lee has been so entertaining for so long now.
Yeah, bring in the Mumbai Cats.
It always makes me laugh when you see those. They remind me of the Conquistadors. I don't remember when Edge and Chris used to dress up.
Yeah.
They're almost a bit like that, aren't they? That it's always different guys underneath the mask, but you know who it is. Right? So that would be good, actually. Yeah.
They'll be your tag team champions in 2018. You heard it here first. Mumbai Cats.
Let's start that Twitter trend right now.
I'm thinking about starting a petition for it, to be honest.
So the next match was Title for Titles Grand Champion Matt Sydal, for WWE viewers, the Seven Born from a couple of years ago, defeated the X Division Champion Ishimori. I love Ishimori. I think he's one of my favourite things about Impact at the moment. I thought it was another very good match. If it was great pace, I don't know if it was a nice layout. They made a really good job of making both guys at over without having, Matt Sydal winning in the end. Do you think they're going to combine the titles in the end? Or?
Well, obviously, I don't want to get into spoiler territory. It has been told for quite some time that the new owners and management don't like the idea of the Global Championship or
Grand Champion.
That Sydal held, yeah. The one where they used to do it as rounds and those kind of things, and I think that this is their way of writing it off. I think even it was either Don Callis or Scott D'Amore said, you know, that's it, it's gone now. When Sydal won it originally, so I would imagine they will get rid of it, but they do need another title.
They've been struggling with the second title for years. It was the Legends title and it's the Global title and it's just,
and the TV title.
I think Devon is still the holder of that, believe it or not. The match itself. Oh, so by the way, Ishimori has recently announced that he's quit Japan Noah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just I think yesterday he announced that. So he says that he wants to further his career. So I don't know if that means he's going to stick around with Impact or whatever. But as you correctly said, he's been fantastic in the ring. It's a shame the language barrier holds him back a bit, but. The one thing I've said on my podcast quite a few times is the thing I like about both Sydal and Ishimori is sometimes you see guys like Johnny Impact do these flippy, shitty moves and they don't look like they hurt. Mm. They look like they're just choreographed. But every time Ishimori hits the 450 or Sydal hits his shooting star, it actually looks like it hurts. Really, really hurts. And that's why I like these two.
Oliver?
Yeah, this is one of the matches I was most looking forward to. What Adam's just said, I'm not going to miss the Grand Championship if it goes away, in all honesty. I understand that they were trying to do something different, and it was very different. For me, it never caught on. So it was great seeing Sydal, which win a title at the time against the EC3, obviously. If it becomes just the X Division title again, I'm okay with that, I think. In terms of the match, back and forth, I guess because of the news of Ishimori leaving Pro Wrestling Noah and the connection and the talent exchange they've got with Impact Wrestling made me kind of think that, Sydal's winning this. And because, like Adam said, these shows are taped months in advance, you can kind of get little snippets of spoilers here and there. So, it's something that I kind of knew what the result would be, but I enjoyed the match anyway. So Yeah, a good match, and you know, two of my favourites in Impact going up against. It'd be a shame if Ishimori leaves, because you know, I've been a fan of him since the, you know, pro wrestling nowadays in, you know, the early 2000s, and I remember seeing him live at the Coventry Sky Dome, tagging with Kenta against Eddie Edwards and Brian Danielson, and he was really good back then as well. And you know, I've seen him on an ROH show as well, you know, from a few years back. So yeah, one of my favourite wrestlers, and I hope this isn't the end of him in Impact, really.
Well, one thing I'd also comment on about it is that it's going to be one of the few times that Impact have used Japanese talent in the right way as well. I think they've booked him really, really well. You know, they've had Sanada in the past, I think Okada and things like that, and that they've been just afterthought. So it's good to see that they've learned from some of their lessons, and they booked him really strong. And as Oliver said, I hope he sticks around, because he's a fantastic wrestler.
So next up was Ali won the women's title from, well, it was Lauren Van Hott. She was gorgeous in this match. She seems to have a problem with, I didn't take and pay complete attention. She just seems to be fiddling with her bra the whole match. So,
but. Can I ask Oliver what he thought of this? Because on my show, my co-host, and some of the listeners to our show always think that she's not a very good wrestler, Laura Van Ness, in this instance.
I thought Chelsea Green's brilliant wrestler. So.
So do I, yeah. I'm absolutely of the opinion that she's a fantastic talent. She's got a great look. And, so I'm surprised. I just wanted to see what you thought. Mm.
You know, great, fantastic character. You talked about why you've gravitated towards Impact Wrestling. You could gravitate towards Impact Wrestling just based on the knockout division, in all honesty, in terms of character and character development. You know, you've got Rosemary, who's come such a long way since she debuted. Laurel Van Ness was, you know, just a normal wrestler, and then the wedding stuff went wrong, and then she's gone crazy and all that. So, I think she's a fantastic character, plays it amazingly well. A good wrestler as well, and I've been a fan of her since she was on Tough Enough, on the network for the WWE. So, I think she's really good, and I just think character wise she's incredible, and then by the good in ring skills as well, it's kind of the full package, really. So yeah,
spot on as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, and she sold the finish brilliantly as well, the super kick that she took, sold it incredibly well. Ali as well, I think they've done a really good job of that. It's been almost a year building that character up, so it was good that she won it. Amazingly, she's a veteran of the ring, but she looks sloppy with her wrestling.
I've seen Cherry Bomb in the past, and she's a brilliant wrestler, so it must be hard for her to not go 100% every time, because she's in this character.
Yeah.
That's good.
But I think they've done a great job of building up that storyline, and as Oliver said, you know, I think the knockout division, the characters, and the, you know, the booking and everything about creative in it has been spot on for a long time.
And I don't think they're going to miss Lauren when she leaves, because they've got Ali, Sienna, Valkyrie, and Rosemary. It's a great four to build up the division round.
They've got a few others as well. They've got Kira Hogan in there, and I think they've got. It's a shame they got rid of Hanaya, because she was actually quite interesting as well.
Mm.
They're certainly not missing on the old talent pool there.
I think, you know, when everyone talks about the women's revolution in wrestling and stuff, obviously it was Trish and Lita in WWE, but it was definitely Dawson Kong and Gail Kim in Impact Wrestling TNA at the time, and that needs to, you know, to be celebrated more. If it wasn't for the knockouts division, then I don't think, you know, I don't think the women's revolution would have happened as much as it has, kind of thing. So I think with like Awesome Kong and Gail Kim and, you know, the beautiful people and all the different, you know, Taryn Terrell obviously was, and just and Madison Rain, of course, just so many, you could just name them all day, couldn't you? So if it wasn't for those knockouts and those matches happening in the, you know, 2006-2007 kind of thing, I don't think that the women's revolution would be as, you know, prevalent as it is now, kind of thing.
absolutely agree. And I would say to any listeners who never watch any of the knockout stuff is, if you're going to go Google some matches, the Awesome Kong Gail Kim feud was great. I can't remember if it was a no disqualification match, I can't remember, but that was great. And the other matches to look out for is the Gail Kim Taryn Terrell ladder matches. They were very, very good as well.
And then Brock Hogan came and ruined it.
And wasn't there a no DQ match between those two ladies as well? And I remember that being incredible.
I can't remember, I remember ladders were involved, but yeah, you're quite right, it could have been a no DQ, but I mean that the feud the first few times was great. I even quite enjoyed it, this last feud that they had, although she disappeared very quickly. It's a shame it didn't really come to fruition.
So next up was Lashley versus OVE. I think it's a pretty solid match. OVE got tons in on Lashley before Brian Cage somehow joined the match.
Turned up.
I don't know how. This is one of your pet hates, isn't it, Adam? Where two random people can beat a tag team.
It is one of my pet hates, yeah. that tag team, especially if they're world champions previously, should always beat two single wrestlers. It doesn't matter if it's Hogan and Ultimate Warrior in the ring tagging for the first time. They shouldn't beat an established tag team. That's my view, but, you know, it is what it is. And this match did absolutely nothing for me. It was complete filler. I quite like Brian Cage coming out. He seemed interesting, but, yeah, nothing really to say on this one. This was fast-forward time.
Oh, Vince McMahon must be creaming over Brian Cage and must want him so much to be in NXT. So it's just kind of lead to a Lashley Cage loser leaves town match, because we all know Lashley's leaving soon. So.
Possibly. I mean, we got Feast of Fire, so that could be that as well. Mm. I said I'm not trying to go into spoilers, but I think it's too soon, to be honest, to get Brian Cage and Lashley into something that heated, because I think there's only about 3 weeks left before Lashley leaves. So I'm guessing, to be honest, I think this was just, he was thrown in because Eddie Edwards had his face busted open. Yeah. I think that's the only reason why he was in this spot. I don't think there's anything more to it than that.
Oliver?
I thought it was good use of Brian Cage, to be honest. Come in, beat somebody down, and then kind of leave. The old Goldberg way of booking. I do agree with you guys in terms of an established team should always beat a singles wrestler and stuff. It's just one of those things, I guess. But I enjoyed it for what it was. Sami Callihan getting his licks in on Bobby Lashley as well. And just the whole OVE thing has been really well done, I think. Regardless whether they win or lose matches, they're still one of the highlights of the show.
Shall we move on to the main events? It's Austin Aries versus Johnny Impact. I hate that name. Again, I thought this was a very good main event. Apparently it's the first time I've ever met. I don't know if that's true.
Yep, excellent main event. But I think, as I said, before that, Johnny Impact is just a guy who it seems too choreographed. It looks like I could take him in a fight, because his offense just looks so weak. And it's impressive to see. And there's one bit in the match which you should go back and have a look. It most probably be on Botchamania on YouTube somewhere. But he does a standing shooting star press. And he completely misses the guy, but then they actually replayed it as well. When you actually watch it, he just basically shoots star presses onto the mat, and then grabs the leg. And that's my biggest criticism of Johnny Impact, is that he's got terrible promo skills. I mean, absolutely dreadful promo skills when he's a face. It'll be interesting as a heel, but as a face, yeah, he's terrible. And I'm glad Austin Aries won it. I was always a huge fan. I haven't liked this run as much. But then again, that's most probably because I'm a big Eli Drake guy, so the match show was great.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what did you think of him coming in on his first night and then winning the title straight away?
It doesn't bother me. They always do this. I mean, Eli Drake held the title for a long time. I'm just glad they didn't put it on Johnny Impact, because I don't think he's done enough to deserve it. It'll be interesting, because at the end of the match that they had, Alberta coming back out, and he seems to have been in the main event scene for quite some time. For all his criticisms, I actually really like Alberto, and he's been a bit of a company guy this time round. He hasn't said anything bad about Impact. He's made all the right noises. His promos and in-ring work's been excellent. So, I think that I can see it going either way. Austin losing it to Alberto, because, you know, Alberto's got nothing else to do and he'd be a good heel champion. But then again, they might not move the title back quickly off him. So it's an interesting feud. Interesting feud.
Oliver, have you got a quick thought on it before we go?
I really enjoyed this main event. I'm not sure if I disagree with Adam about Johnny Impact's, you know, his moves and how he executes them and stuff. I think he's amazing to watch because of his athleticism, and some of the things he was doing in this match were incredible to see, really. You know, the parkour over the steps, you know, when he got tripped up on the top rope and the way he was, like, landing and stuff off that, added a lot of drama to the match, just, you know. And in terms of Austin Aries and being the champion, if I was Impact, you know, involved in Impact booking and stuff, I'd keep him champion for a long time.
All right, so before we go, Adam, do you want to promote the social media or the...
Well, first of all, thanks for having us on, guys. You know, absolute pleasure. And hopefully, you know, next time there's a pay-per-view or something like that, you'll invite me back. But, just if you want to check out, if you're Impact fans, you want to hear a weekly review or catch up on the news, just make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Just Google Impact Lounge and you'll find us on there. And the other thing is, as well, obviously, we've got a Facebook page, Impact Lounge. Once again, give us a like if you can see it.
Yeah, and I'll put all the links in the description below this review. So... I've really enjoyed having you on. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
So. No, brilliant. Chris, yeah. Oliver, really appreciate the invite. And I'll be back on soon.
That's a
pleasure having you on, Adam.
Bye.
That's a huge thanks for listening. And you can join us for our review of Fastlane.